Today, two stories and two sentences from Jesus. Two stories. I'm going to talk slower, Pastor Anthony. It gives you time. Two stories. Two sentences from Jesus. Although I was tempted to preach last week's sermon all over again. There's a really old story, don't even know if it's true, about a preacher who comes to a church and the first three Sundays in a row, he preaches the same sermon until the deacons take him aside and tell him, "You keep preaching the same thing. What are you doing?" And he says, "I think I'm going to preach it until we start doing it." I don't know if it's true. I never much liked that story because it sounds kind of condescending, doesn't it? Just a little superior, I don't know. But this week I was tempted to preach last week all over again. Maybe for me. If we say Jesus is Lord, what will that mean in my life? Last week we were with Peter. It was 1 week after the resurrection. Peter can ask Jesus anything he wants. It's that moment before the farewell. I think I would have asked, "Hey, tell me about the Sunday morning thing in the tomb when nobody was there." What a question that would have been. And Peter says, he can ask anything. He says to Jesus, if you were here last week, you know. He says, "What about that guy? What about him? Are you going to leave that obnoxious, kind of just competitive, he won't go away, but he won't show up on time? Are you going to leave that guy with us, Jesus? Because that's really going to bug us." That's when Jesus says, if you were here last week, "James, John, Peter, Nathaniel, all of you sit down. What is it to you if I leave him here? What is it to you if he remains in my love with the rest of you? Were you there when they crucified your Lord? Were you there when they laid me in the tomb, when the sun refused to shine? Were you there trembling, or was it just me?" Peter, get a better question. "I'm about to leave you. You're going to do life without me now. I'm going to leave you with this divine spirit power. You'll do greater things. You'll carry on where I left off. You'll remain in love, through love, by love. This is the one command, Peter, love." I was tempted to preach last week's sermon all over again this week. Instead, same song, next verse. Two stories, two sentences from Jesus. Story number one. It's early in the morning and it's on the weekend. I have a goal. I'm on my way to the Planned Parenthood at 6 a.m. Now, before everyone is consumed with curiosity, I am on my way to Planned Parenthood on behalf of a young woman. She is unemployed, uninsured, physically broken, cognitively overwhelmed. The list is very long. She is out of options. I'm under strict confidentiality, and I am trying to imagine on the weekend. So I have this plan. I'm going to go. Never been to a Planned Parenthood. I'm going to go at 6 a.m. My goal is to get in and out, get the information, and get out before it gets crowded. So the sun is still sleeping. There's almost no one on the streets. I go on the inside of the clinic. There's a woman in a uniform behind the plastic shield there. "Can I help you?" "Yeah, these are my questions." She answers all of my questions. She asks and answers a few I would not have known to ask. I leave with my hands full of literature and just a smidge of hope in my heart. And I get out the door and the sun is still resting. Now, there's a man here. He's in a plaid shirt and jeans and a vest. He's been in an F1 pickup. I saw him when I first walked into the clinic. He was unloading things on this little piece of lawn outside there, but now he's done. All of his things are set up. He has a table, two of them, end to end. They're covered with cloth, like it's going to be a Thanksgiving dinner tablecloth. He's got some poster boards, like a fifth grade science competition. and a couple of baby dolls, two or three of them, stuffed baby dolls. I think there's a plant, some literature lined up, and there's a boombox with some worship music playing. You are stronger, sin is broken, he is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. Came to seek and save the sinner on the cross. Jesus, you are Lord of all. Sin is strong. You are stronger. Sin is broken. He is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. His music is moving through the air. I keep my head down and walk, which is when he says to me, hey, you have other options, you know. I keep my head down and I keep walking. And he keeps talking. Why would you come to this place? Why would you come here? Have you thought of, and he names a nonprofit that I could go to where they don't kill babies. And I keep my head down and I say to him, please don't talk to me right now. I don't want to talk to you. And I keep moving towards my car, but he won't stop talking. He keeps talking and talking. So I say again, please stop talking to me right now. I don't want to, you don't even know who I am. Stop talking to me. As I move to my car, he throws comments across the street like arrows headed right at me. Have you thought of this? Did you think about that? What about, until I finally interrupt him and say, stop talking to me and turn off your Jesus music. You don't represent Jesus right now. All of this angst building up inside of me. I'm carrying around all of this. What if I was 15 and really in trouble? When I wake up out of this slurry of anger, I realize I am planted right in the middle of the street. I'm embedded on the yellow line, yelling at a stranger in a plaid shirt I have never met. Story one. Here's a sentence from Jesus. If the world hates you, know that it hated me first. We'll leave the sentence here for a minute. If the world hates you, what follows now are a solid paragraph about hate. If they hate you, know they hated me. If they hate me, know that they hate the one who sent me. If they hate you, it's because you don't belong to them and you belong to me. There will be hate, Jesus says. Hate's in the drinking water, Jesus says. Sometimes when we read this passage in the Gospel of John, when we're doing a more superficial reading of this gospel and this story, we think maybe that this is a text about the persecution of Christians in the world. The world will hate you if you love Jesus. But we have to think like first century community, the people who author this story, there's not a Christian movement yet. There's not a church yet. In fact, when Jesus and his disciples move around the world, they're really not persecuted. They're disturbing and troubling, but they're probably not persecuted. We would do better to ask, who is the world in that sentence? If the world hates you, Jesus says, who is the world? I guess it's not us, it's something other. Is the world the people who don't accept Jesus? Is the world the Jews who are having trouble with Jesus? Is the world the Jews who are in the synagogue? Or is it the people who are being kicked out of the synagogue? Are these the Jews from Galilee or the Jews from Judea? I mean, it could be all sorts of clusters here. Who's the world and who's the hate between? But I want to suggest to you that there's maybe something bigger happening here, that this is a big picture conversation. Verses 1 to 17 in this very same chapter. What precedes this are 17 verses on love. Love me, abide in me, remain in my love, love one another over and over and over. The first part of this chapter has said, you will remain, you will stay, you will dwell, you will get at home in my love. It's a new commandment I'm giving you. Love one another. And then in the very next verse, there's a 180-degree turn. By the way, there's hate also. By the way, there's hate. People tell us, We're living in this interesting moment in our country and in our world where we feel hate in a variety of ways we never quite felt it before. We feel hate today. We are more us and them than we've ever been before in our nation. But it's not as simple as us and them. We're reading, we're understanding with specialists that everybody feels kind of offended and marginalized now. You can be white or black or Latino or Asian. You can be male or female. You could be younger or older. You could be the in-between. God bless the millennials. You can be gay or straight. You can be liberal or conservative. You can be the one going into the Planned Parenthood or the one blowing it up. The us and them that happens in our world today has become our norm. The us and the them. If last week we asked, what do we love, to better understand how to imagine Jesus is Lord, today I'm asking, what do we hate? Where has hate made its way into your opinions, my convictions, my habits? Where has hate gotten a hold in our lives? There is a neighborhood watch group in social media. Maybe some of you have are members of this space called Next Door La Sierra, right? So it's here in the 92505 and the surrounding neighborhoods. Oh man, it's a chatterbox full of information. This is where you go, Next Door La Sierra, if you want to know about sketchy activity in our neighborhood, if someone got their house broken into or a car was stolen. This is also where you go if you want to buy a puppy or find a piano teacher or a plumber or give away your grapefruit. There's like 30, 40, 50 messages a day that come off of Next Door La Sierra. It is not an unbiased place, by the way. Convictions and opinions are all mingled in there as well. So here's a post from about 10 days ago on the social media spot called Next Door La Sierra. You won't be able to read it all. Let me read it to you. Is there an ordinance? This is anonymous in case it's one of us. Could be one of you. Just occurred to me. I hope it's not, but it could be one of us. Is there an ordinance that prohibits an owner from painting his house a really bad color? The house I'm referring to is such an eyesore that I expect it will lower the value of other houses in our neighborhood. Before any of you posts a rude comment, this is what I'm interested. You should know that I am not a racist. I'm not homophobic. I'm not superior. I donate to the homeless. And I'm not an angry old lady. I just don't want to spend my years looking at an egg yolk colored house that rivals the sunrise every morning. The end. Is there an ordinance? Because I'm not a homophobe. Ah, yes. She feels the need to list all the categories, the us or the them, when all we needed to talk about was the color of the house. This is our world today. Jesus said it would be this way. Somewhere I read this week, I wish I could give credit to the author who says, it's only in Hollywood where planet Earth ever unites, and it's only in that scene when the aliens come to attack. And then the human race is one. Jesus said it would be this way, friends. From the 92505 to America, to France and Great Britain, to Russia, Iraq, to Syria this afternoon. Jesus said hate will be in the drinking water. When that section on hate concludes, it ends with this sentence, second sentence from Jesus. I have said these things to you so that you won't fall away. John 16, verse 1. I've said these things so you won't fall away, so you won't be scandalized, so you won't leave, so you can prepare for what's coming. It's a great word, so you won't fall away, so you can be helpful, is how I hear it. I've said these things so you won't fall away from the movement of love, Because the option will be to keep our head down and to ignore, but I don't want you to fall away from my commandment. Remain in my love. Second verse from Jesus. Second story. This story comes to us from Brian Doyle. Brian is an essayist. He has a charming way with words. This book is called 8 Whopping Lies and Other Stories Bruised by Grace. The story's called The Bus Driver. He tells a story about a man who's decided in his last years of living and income earning, he will now drive a bus for school children. He used to be a soldier, and then he was a security guard. He's big, he's good with his hands. He knows first aid, so he could help if a child was in trouble on the bus. He happens to like children, and he says, the bus driver says, it's kind of better if you like kids if you're going to drive a bus. I don't mind getting up and driving into the city twice a day. That's okay with me. So, I get my bus. Now, you need to know a few things about driving a school bus. On my bus, there are about 20 students. When we begin the school year, I introduce myself. We get kind of tight, kind of quick. There's only 2 rules on my bus. Safety, everybody stays in their seats. And civility, we'll treat each other well. Those are the only 2 rules. He says, the kids pretty much take care of it. The older kids kind of manage and negotiate. It's a pretty great job. One day, he says, there was a moment on the bus, a new kid got on the bus. Here's the challenge with being new, the bus driver says. You're new, and that's uncomfortable. This kid was kind of big, and that's uncomfortable. Both of those things had him a little bit prickly as he's interacting, and he's watching everybody, and he's pretty sure they're all going to make fun of him, the new kid. Sure enough, here comes a moment where he's certain this little guy on the bus has called him a name, and so the big one gets out of his seat, comes over to this little guy, imposes his body, starts to poke at his face and yell in his face, and this little one melts to a puddle of tears. He's gone. Bus driver says, well, we got a problem because we're out of our seats, so I need to pull the bus over now. He's so calm, this bus driver. He pulls the bus over, figures he's going to have to get up out of his seat and navigate now, pulls the bus over and says, we just had gotten to the side of the road when I looked in the mirror and I see the skinniest, scrawniest, tiniest, this is like a 7-year-old little boy on the bus. He's like 1/3 of the size of the big kid. He gets up out of his seat and he goes over to where the argument is. He puts his body right between the big boy and the little boy crying. Bus driver says, and then another kid gets up out of his seat. I think he's about 7'2". He's also tiny, not quite so geeky and scrawny, but he's little. And he goes over and puts his body right there also. And then a third kid, and a fourth kid, and a fifth kid. Until most the kids are out of their seats, standing around the altercation. Bus driver says, here's the crazy thing. Nobody says a word. Nobody hits. Nobody throws. Nobody punches. No one's screaming. They're simply standing and holding space. Until the big boy looks around and realizes. And he goes back to his seat and he sits down. One by one, all the kids go back to their seats. The bus driver turns around. Everybody good? We get on the road. I take him on to school. Bus driver says, isn't that a crazy story? Isn't that a large story? I'll bet you 1,000 times a day in our world, things like that happen and we don't even know. No, I'll bet you maybe it's 1 billion times all around our world. Large, loving things are happening. Jesus said, in this world, there will be hate. I've left you here to be the alternative.